Hey, what's up, guys? This episode, it's going to be a little bit different than what we normally talk about. I guess you could say even like a little bit darker. I don't know if you guys can hear, but it probably sounds a little bit different recording this because we're not in our car, or my car, I should say. I'm going to try to keep this as like upbeat and positive as I possibly can, but this one's going to be really tough for me. So I was recently in a car wreck after meeting a few friends for drinks. This happened on a Sunday night, and I felt like shit. And when I say car wreck, I mean like I completely smashed my car into a back of another car. The other person was okay. They had a Subaru, like one of those big ones. So I think if anything, they just got like a sore neck. If that, Subarus are pretty sturdy. Like if you get hit by those, you're like, oh, well, you know, the force of it just kind of pushes you, but you'll be okay. My car, on the other hand, it's done. There's no bringing back that car. That car is completely shot. Like the whole. So,
did you find it? Did you find
one? Yeah, we found the car, and I got all my stuff out of the car. That happened like 5 days after.
Okay.
But the whole front end of the car, like basically the engine just got like smushed, and like part of it below. Like you've seen car wrecks before. It was bad. I walked out of it. Police were there, immediately put me into an ambulance, was handcuffed to a stretcher, and was forced to wear a neck brace. Now, the problem with all this is that I remember slamming on my brakes and everything afterwards. And I was terrified. My phone was completely smashed. I couldn't make any calls. It would turn on, but it was done. So I'm in handcuffs to a stretcher, taken to the hospital. I get to the hospital and immediately they're like, all right, got to take off all your clothes except for your underwear. And you know, we'll go from there, you know? And I kept asking like, what is this for? What is this for? They wouldn't answer. They kept saying I was defiant, you know? And my fear is, like, being a Hispanic male, it's like, well, they're just going to call up ICE, you know, and say, like, we got a Hispanic male into an accident, right? You know?
Yeah.
You guys should deal with this. You know, also hearing cops hurting, you know, people that are trying to, like, you know, ask, like, why they need to do something, you know? And they're like, oh, you're being defiant, and, you know, they're getting hit. Like, that was my fear. That was, like, everything you could possibly imagine going through my head. Even talking about this, like, I feel nervous and like anxious because it's just like remembering all that stuff. So mind you, I'm handcuffed, my feet are handcuffed to the bed and my arms are handcuffed, so I can't move anything really, you know?
That's crazy.
So they're like, they had them there, you know, or no, this was right before all that happened. They're like kind of holding me down. They're like, take off this. I'm like, all right, like, chill, like, take it off or we'll cut it off. I'm like, all right, like, you know, go ahead, take it. Like, I'm not here to fight you guys. So they run through all the tests. They handcuff both my hands to the bed and my feet to the bed. So I'm not moving anywhere. And I can't roll over. Like, I roll on my side a little bit. I could only move my left arm, my right arm to about halfway over my body. So it would be like, it'd be like your elbow's locked in place and you're only moving like your elbow part of your body, you know, like your arms down to your elbows, and then you're just able to move that. So it's very limited on what I can do. I sat there for about 12, 13 hours handcuffed to a bed. Still not able to call anyone, still not let anyone know what happened, where I was. You know, I go in for multiple things of testing. They take multiple amounts of blood. every time they're like, the big thing was your heart rate's really elevated. It was 132/95, which was like the average of what it was. Mm-hmm. For heart rates, your heart rate needs to be below 100. You know, it's like over, like below 100 and like 70 something. I don't know if I'm cold or if, like, just talking about this, like, making me shake.
It's probably cold because I'm cold too.
Yeah.
We're in his room, by the way.
Yeah.
He has the patio door open for some reason.
Well, it was nice. All right, give me like a second. Let me go close this.
Yeah. So, anyways, we're just waiting.
Yeah, like it was like all the way across the house. All right. So I go through multiple things of testing. They're talking about taking me to jail. You know, I'm still freaking out. Like, they're like, but your heart rate is elevated and we can't release you. They do CAT scan. They do a sonogram on me, which is like what you normally see for pregnancies. But sometimes you can see if, like, you know, you have internal bleeding. Everything came back fine, besides, like, a scratch on my chin. So, from there, they send me to a downstairs portion of the, they send me to a downstairs portion of the hospital. To my knowledge, all hospitals have this. It's like a holding cell, but it's
I've never known that.
I kind of knew about this from my grandma. It's like a holding cell for people. Sorry, the seat just fixed her key. He almost fell. It's a holding cell for people that when you go down there, like, you're still being monitored by police, you know, but the nurses and everyone else can monitor you better. So they took me off of handcuffs. They gave me a room with another empty bed next to me. They fed me food. I couldn't eat. They let me go to the bathroom easily over there. Yeah, when I was handcuffed, I told them I only wanted water because all I could do was pee into, like, one of the pee containers.
Mm.
And that sucked because they kept giving me IVs, you know. So, mind you, I remember every single thing going on. I remember sitting there for hours on end going, I'm stuck. I don't know what to do. I can't contact anyone. Right. Nobody knows where I am. I lost all track of time. I didn't know what day it was. I was just, stress level was really high, anxiety was really high, bless you. Just like everything you could possibly imagine. Like, your worst emotional state basically is like what it was at. You know, I'm thinking like, my family's gonna disown me, you know, my cousin is gonna disown me, I'm not gonna be able to see my dog, you know, like having to talk with my family, like everything came back to me. So I'm downstairs. I'm there for like another day and a half. Eventually my heart rate goes down. And mind you, doctors and like everyone's like trying to talk with me and trying to figure out, they kept thinking it was drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, I don't do drugs.
Yeah.
You know, and Kiwan can attest for that.
Oh, for sure.
Like even people are like, you want to smoke weed? Like, I don't smoke. I don't do drugs. Alcohol is...
You live in a house that people grew marijuana and you didn't smoke anything. So.
Yeah. Well, we should talk about that another day.
Yeah.
That house was fun.
Yeah.
I don't do drugs. I don't do any of those. I've thought about it, but I never had a need to do it. That shit's expensive. Like, your boy cannot afford anything, barely.
Yeah.
So, the first nurse that talked to me, while I was handcuffed to the bed, he's like, why are you so nervous? Like, why are you scared? And I was like, handcuffed to a bed?
Yeah,
like,
what do you think?
I don't know what else to tell you, you know? And I told him, like, I was like, a big part is, like, I think ICE is going to come, you know, and, like, take me. And it's hard to explain to anyone that's not Hispanic. I guess an equal correlation to that would be, you know, being black and thinking, like, cops are being called. Like, I don't know where my life is going to be, you know, in the next 5-10 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's not as extreme as maybe that, you know, but it's like, I don't know, you know, who I'm going to be able to talk to or where I'm going to be in the next 5 minutes. So that's scary in and of itself. I was born here legally. I was born in California. my dad came over. My mom was born in San Francisco. Her parents, my grandparents came over from Central America. So I'm 100% Hispanic, you know, and I'm legal, but it's still a fear because ICE nowadays is just kind of taking like whoever. It doesn't matter like who you are, you know, and if they hear defiant and like Hispanic involved in like something involving someone else, it's like, it's a scary thing. You know, I don't want to be part of that.
Right.
And Kiwan can attest to you, like, I'm not affiliated with, like, any gangs. I'm not affiliated with, like, anyone that, like, gives out bad vibes. Like, I'm...
I mean, we always say it's gang, gang, gang.
Yeah. We say that, you know, but it's...
Melanin Brigade. That's a gang.
Yeah, but it's like...
No, I'm joking, but I know what you're talking
like,
about.
The most... Like, the worst we're gonna do, you know, is, like, the worst you'll ever see me do is usually just, like, kind of talk shit to people, you know? And that's because people are talking shit to me, you know? That's not to say I can't handle myself in a fight, but... That's like my last resort.
Yeah.
You know, I always walk away from things. I always like brush things off. I never let a lot of things get to me. So that nurse in there, he just kind of, he didn't know how to like respond to any of the things I was saying. He was a white nurse and he's like, is that scary? And I was like, you'll never know what it feels like to be in my situation. And he's like, yeah. You know, and I think he was, like, those nurses that, like, the cops kind of send in or, like, the people kind of send, like, yeah, like, he'll talk to you. You're a male. Like, you know, you'll get more information out of him. And that guy got nothing out of me. Like, I did not want to talk with him whatsoever because he was making me more upset. So, eventually, you know, things kind of progressed more. They moved me to a different room. Another nurse came in, and I'm really grateful for this one. So, I'm still, like, strapped to the bed and everything. She comes in. She goes, I know how you're feeling. I had a DUI before. You know, I threw a fit. I fought every single person that came to me. And she's like, you're just sitting here. And like, she's like, your heart rate is like up high, but you're talking to me calmly. I'm going, yeah, because, you know, I don't know what else. You know, she's the one that kind of calmed me down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I ever remember her name or see her again, you know, it's a massive amount of thanks to her. I cannot repay her for, you know, putting me in a better mindset and kind of like helping me out through that part.
For sure.
So we talked like here and there, you know, she sat back a little bit longer. She's like, I think you're fine. She's like, I think you're just really stressed out, which is understandable. You know, eventually we'll, you know, you're going to be moved downstairs to like a better area. So, and it's a lot better than jail, I'll tell you that. So I get sent downstairs again.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, like I'm catching up to like different parts of my story. Sorry if I'm jumping around. Like everything's kind of like.
I mean, this is like a tough situation. So
yeah.
I don't expect you to have a clear mind and like totally there. Like this is the first time you're expressing it because this is the first time I've heard this story. So.
Yeah, there's very select people that kind of know what happened. Some people know that I was in an accident and totaled my car. You know, no one really knows this Why? Part.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough because I mean it's embarrassing. I'm not that type of person, you know, to do that. I'm not the type of person. I'm usually the one saying, no, man, like, let's just walk. Let's just do this. Let's do that. You know, I made a big mistake, you know, in my choices and I have to live with those. But at the same time, I'm trying to own up to them as the best way I possibly can.
Which you should.
To
be honest, yeah.
Like it's tough. Moving forward. So go downstairs, meet another couple nurses. They're really nice, you know, they're like talking me through. Oh, one cop thought I was Sereno.
Really?
Yeah, because he saw the number 13 tattoo. Oh, so for those of you that don't know, I have tattoos. I have tattoos on my wrists. This says, the one on my right says, a man chooses, and the other one says, a slave obeys, with three links of chains on each one. If you played Bioshock, the video game, you'll know that it's from that. And it's a saying from that. It was one of my favorite games of all times and one of the few times I was ever blown away by a video game. On my right forearm, I have The Wolf from Okami, which is another PlayStation 2 title. That game I really loved. On my right bicep, it was a bicep, right?
Yeah.
On my right bicep, I have the California Bear. Two of my other friends have a California Bear on their arm, but it's like a different variation. So I thought that was like a cool, like, way to say like, yeah, we've been friends for a while. My left forearm, I have an anatomical heart created by a good friend of mine in the UK. I don't know his name. I'll look it up later, but it's like Thomas Gruskowski, or something like that. Let me look it up right now, actually. It's gonna bug me. Thomas Galuski. Galunski? His art is amazing. You guys should check him out on Facebook and other social networks. I actually met him off of Tumblr when I was on there for a bit, and he drew that up for me, and I'm really happy with it. I have a tattoo on my back that says, or that's a giant pocket watch with wings, because my grandpa's always had my back. And it's like, it stands for time flies, because that's something that he would always say. Mm-hmm. And then on, I guess, the upper part of my right wrist, you know, if you're like looking at the back of my left hand, like right above my wrist, there's the number 13. Some of you may know, some of you may not know. I don't even know if I've dropped it, but I have a dog. His name is Kuma. He's actually in the room with us. He was born on Friday the 13th. Kuma was a huge reason on why I'm not as depressed as I probably should be.
Yeah.
It's tough because while I was thinking, you know, all these people, like, I'm thinking, like, the worst possible thing possible. I'm thinking everyone's gonna, like, you know, abandon me. Like, I know there wasn't a doubt in my mind that he wouldn't abandon me. I know at the very least I would have him. Mm-hmm. So he was a huge reason to just know that, you know, I have him, you know, and he's going to be there by my side. And again, Kiwan can attest, like, this dog is super loyal to me. Like, no matter what, this dog will stick by. And he's been there when he was a puppy.
Yeah.
You know, we used to take him out to, like, the different places. So this is the second night. I found that piece, by the way. This is the second night that I'm in the hospital. By the time they take me downstairs, I'm able to call. First person I call is my mom. My mom has this big habit of not answering the phone to any numbers that she doesn't know.
I'm the same way. I'm definitely the same way.
I'm like, just answer the phone. She's like, I don't know who it is. And I was like, what if I'm dying? She's like, well, I guess I'll find out later. You know? So I tell her, I was like, call my cousin, you know, blah, blah, blah. My cousin's the only person, the only family member I have in Colorado. And it's taken me a long time to really reach out to her for various reasons. Not that I tried to avoid her, but we just lived our own lives. Now I live with her, and she's the one helping me through all of this. And I said in the first episode, like, no amount of things can, you know, make up the stuff that she's done for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's done well over, you know, what is to be expected as a family member, let alone as, like, someone I consider as a sister. If I had $1 million, 3/4 of that would go to her.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's, like, there's no question in my book. You know, if I had to split, like, my earnings with someone else, like, then all my money would go to her, because she deserves it. She's done way more than I could ever ask for.
Right.
So I call her, I let her know what happened. And then the whole process continues. That's around the time that she called you, right?
Yeah, she hit me up on Facebook, saying that she needed to talk to me, and I knew something was up. But I'll get to my side of the story. I'll let you finish.
Okay.
But that's what happened. Now.
So Sunday night, moving into Monday morning. I was in the hospital all day from 12 o'clock in the morning all the way up to 12 o'clock at night. Tuesday morning, I wake up, it's about 10 o'clock. They try to feed me breakfast. I hadn't eaten anything in basically a day and a half.
Wow.
Because I was with you Sunday morning, you know, and we ate. And then from there, leave that alone. And then from there, I didn't eat anything. I couldn't stomach it. It was just, it was guilt. It was, you know, anxiety. It was everything you possibly can.
Oh, I saw
you
know? Me. Yeah.
Like, you felt that way before.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, just like about family, you know.
Yeah. That's how I'm like, I totally get it.
Yeah, so it's really hard. Like, I really had to force myself. I know I need to eat. I know. But I was taking in liquids, which is a big thing. That helped out. So they put me in handcuffs, you know, I'm feeling a little better, you know, and at that point I'm going, it's been a day. Like, it's been over 24 hours. What's happened, you know, what's done is done. I have to move forward. I need to figure out the best possible way. Don't make your life harder than what it is. You know, ask questions, you know, and just kind of like sit back and let things move along. Mm-hmm. So they moved me over to Denver County. I get put into a room. It's like the processing room. They take my fingerprints. I get there about like 12:30, like 12:30, 1 o'clock. And it's on Tuesday. And like I said, like I lost track of like all the time. So I had no idea what was going on. It's just, again, it's anxiety. It's like everything you're possibly going through. Like, it's funny because I kept thinking of the Eminem song where it's like, on the surface, he looks calm and ready.
Yeah.
You know, but like inside, I was just like, I was a mess.
Mm-hmm.
So I get there, I'm asking the officers, like, what would you like me to do? Okay. I was like, officers, I don't have my glasses, so I can't see. I just need you to kind of like walk me until I can actually like kind of see what you're talking about. You know, and those officers are pretty cool about it. You know, just telling them like, hey, this is what I can see, this is what I can't see, this is what I can do, this is what I can't right. do. So go through the whole thing. By this time, I have my clothes back. So I had all my tattoos covered up. Because just that officer saying, oh, you sereno, like, I don't need more problems than what there is.
Right.
You know, I don't, like I said before, I don't claim anything. You know, I don't try to be something I'm not. I'm just me. So I'm sitting there, and they go, you have court at 1:30. I'm like, all right, cool. So I'm thinking they're going to pick me up, move me to a different part of the jail. You know, I go to, like, in front of the judge. I didn't go to court.
Yeah.
They completely dismissed that. They gave me what's called a PR bond. Mm-hmm. It's like personal reconnaissance, I think, is what the name is. Basically, what that means is that you don't pay anything to get bonded out. But you're told to come back at a different date. It's up there on the board. You can see it. You're told to come back on a different date. If you don't show up, then you do have to pay. So
yeah,
I didn't pay for that only because I was there because I was in the hospital and then I was moved later. So it's like, well, you spent like your one night here. That's usually what happens. So, I finally get through all that. They told I'm PR bonded. They tried to slap me with like another DUI and I was like, no, this is the only one I've ever gone through. So moving forward from that, then they go, okay, well, what's going to happen is they're going to send you upstairs. You know, you're going to go into a cell. You'll probably be there for a couple hours and then you'll be released. So they're like, all right, strip all your clothes, put this on, grab a bag, go upstairs. And I'm thinking, well, now I'm in jail. You know, like, like at that point, like I'm a lot calmer. I kind of know what's going on. I've kept to myself the whole time. I even asked the nurse to give me a bandage to kind of cover my 13 tattoo.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want people to assume I was something I'm not, you know.
That's smart.
I would like me and my people skills, I don't want to brag, but I feel like they're really good. So I was able to talk with like a lot of, you know, the officers, the nurses, and kind of get more than what most people would get only because I was just so nice and genuine about a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I said, please and thank you after every single thing. I just asked, I was like, when you guys have a minute, like no rush, you know, like when you guys can, you know, talk like that goes a long way. And I'm so happy I able to learn that, you know, when I was younger and carry it over now. So they moved me up there. They put me in a cell with this other guy. I don't know if I should drop his name or not.
Yeah, don't do it.
He was a cool guy. If he ever hears this, we were in cell, I think, 215, 115, or no. 2C, 115 or something like that. I don't know. We sat there. I go in there, and he's like, hey, what's up? And I was like, oh, hey, like, not like, you know, oh, what's up? Like, what's good? He was like, oh, hey, like, I'm about to be bonded out. And I was like, well, me too, you know. And he's like, well, I got all these cookies. This man had 6 cookies. like sitting over there. And I'm like, why do you have 6 cookies? To this day, I still don't know. He was a really cool guy, though.
How you get cookies in jail?
Oh, because after dinner, like, they serve you food. And I think, I want to say, like, a bunch of people were bonded out. So they just kind of, like, gave all the cookies for him.
Huh? Was the food trash?
Yeah.
Yeah. What was it?
So when I was over there in the processing room, they gave what some of the people were calling Denver Big Macs, where it was 3 pieces of bread. Bread was shit. 2 pieces of cheese that were in, like, packages. And then I think 2 or 3 pieces of bologna.
Oh.
And then, like, the school milk.
No.
And I was like, well, gotta eat this.
That shit sounds terrible.
Yeah. If you don't want to go to jail, don't go for the food alone. I'm telling you that. So that was, like, my dinner. I was at, like, 4 o'clock, 4:30, whatever.
Uh-huh.
So they moved me up. It's like 6, 7 o'clock, about that time. I'm assuming, because there's, like, no clocks anywhere, and I'm, like, sitting here, like, going, I don't know what time it is, I don't know where I'm at, you know? Like, basically, it's like they put blindfold on you and move you from spot to spot, so, and they're like, we just do that, you know, so that way our officers can be safe, and I was like, I get that, but, like, I'm already here now, can you just tell me where I'm at? So I called my cousin there a couple times, we kind of get everything situated, she's like, just, you know, hang in there, stay strong. You know, don't do stupid stuff. And I was like, I'm not trying to do more than what I'm here for. So
right.
I was like, I'm trying to get out of here as fast as possible. I'm not trying to be here that long. So they take me upstairs. They put me in a cell. I meet my cellmate. And God, that sounds so weird just to say out loud. Like, so I'm talking with him. And we just talk sports. It's like literally all we did for like 3 hours is talk sports.
Mm-hmm.
Or like 2-3 hours. So we're sitting there, we're watching it was like the game before Duke. We're just watching that basketball game. We're just like shooting the breeze about, you know, every little thing. Next thing you know, he gets bonded out and he's like, well, the cookies are there if you want the cookies, because I don't want them because they taste like shit. And I was like, I'm sure I'll pick at it. So I'm like, so I'm sitting in the cell, you know, and it's just me in there, and I'm like, well, they said I was supposed to be here bonded. Nothing's come yet. I guess I'll be released at like 8 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm sitting there watching like the sports highlights and everything of like what happened. Like I said, at this point, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's happening. Luckily, I was by myself, and my cellmate at the time was really cool. So that whole experience was a lot better because he was like pointing out, he's like, yeah, those people over there are crazy. Those people over there are crazy. He had the same court date as me. So he was like, well, when we went into court, the judge was handing out PR bonds, like, you know, it was nothing. And then they said, oh, this guy's in the hospital still. Forget it. We're just going to PR bond him. And I was like, well, that was me. And he's like, yeah. He's like, but you look like you're fine. I'm like, I mean, as fine as I can be in here.
Right.
So. So eventually, I think it's like 11 o'clock. They don't even call you. They just pop your cell door open. So you just hear your door open. And they're like, if your name is called, grab your stuff, you know, and then come out. If your name's not called, you know, just close your door again. So they called my name, grabbed my stuff. It's like 11 o'clock. Me and like these two other guys are going down. We're just talking. We're just glad to be out. So they hand me back my phone. It's like completely shattered. There's nothing like to it, I guess. And they're like, well, here's your wallet, too. And went through my wallet. Luckily, they left my social security card in there. I'm kind of pissed about that.
Yeah.
But they, like, switched all my things. Apparently, at some point, I, like, tried to pull out my driver's license, and I slipped out my ID, my credit card or my debit card. So that fell in the car. So I'm still waiting on a new card. I got everything else back. So get downstairs. And they're like, oh, you can use the payphone. Payphone requires money. I don't have cash on me, let alone change.
Right.
You know, so I'm like, well, luckily one of the other guys was nice enough to, like, let me borrow their phone, call my cousin, let her know, like, this is where I'm at. You know, if you can, come pick me up. If I couldn't get a hold of him, I would have walked to your place.
Got you.
You know, which is a bit, but that's really the only thing I knew what to do.
Right.
So, and they got to check out one of those doors, because one of those doors stays open all the time.
Which one?
Not the door I always enter into, but on the other side of that building.
If it's early, it's always open.
Is it?
Oh, yeah, right. Like, it starts, you have to use a key around, like, 5.
Oh, okay. Like, I 5 mean, p.m. Because there's times I go over there and, like, you can see it, like, cracked open. And I'm like...
That should happen.
So, yeah, she picked me up and, you know, I talked with her. I'm like, kind of let her know everything that's going on. She's like, get some rest. We'll try to figure out some more things in the morning. And that's kind of, it's kind of at that point. So that next day I'm out, you know, obviously I'm slept in my bed. I took a shower. I didn't take a shower for like 3 days. Cause they're like, you can take a shower in here. I'm like, nope. I'm about to be out.
Don't drop the like, soap.
I was like, I'm not taking any chances. Like, I'm staying in my cell. When you bond me out at 8 o'clock in the morning, I'll take a shower when I go home.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care. That finally felt good. They gave me all the paperwork. I have everything that I need to do. That next day, the first thing I had to do was try to get my phone fixed. But I needed an ID to do that, so went to DMV, I got an ID card, and then they told me the other stuff I can do. Apparently, my license was suspended off that first accident. Remember that guy that sued me?
Yeah.
So that guy got my license taken away because I didn't have insurance at the time. And they sent that information to the Champa Street address.
Got you.
So I had no idea. So they're like, oh, you're driving with a suspended license. Was my license suspended? Yeah. They're like, it was on this day. We sent you a letter. I don't have anything. Apparently, the DMV and the post office are two different things, and they don't listen to each other. So even though I forwarded all my stuff to this address,
yeah,
I never got it. So that screwed me over because that's something I could have fixed a long time ago and make it better. Now I'm having to do that now, and it's, yeah, that's the whole thing. So... I get my ID card. We talk to a guy over there. I'm not going to drop a name, but he was super helpful. He helped us with more stuff than, you know, I could possibly imagine because I've never done this. I don't know. I know other people that have gone through this, you know, but I've never sat there and go, well, tell me like what happened.
Right.
You know, it's just, damn, like that sucks. I really hope that doesn't happen to me. And now it's like, well, here's everything that's happened. So you get that. We went to the T-Mobile store first, because I have T-Mobile, and they're like, well, you can do insurance and get it the next day, or you can take it to the Apple, you know, maybe they can, like, replace it for you. We go to Apple, they replaced it 100% for free.
Really?
Yeah, because apparently I have AppleCare through my insurance through T-Mobile, and it was already together. I didn't know about it. I just said, I dropped my phone enough. Yeah, give me insurance. So... they gave me a brand new phone. My cousin paid for the glass screen protector. So it's set.
Well, I have the same one.
Yeah. So it's like, that was like a huge sigh of relief. Cause like, my cousin and her fiance were like, well, just let us know what we need to pay. You know, we'll pay it. Like stuff you need, like, let us know. We'll pay for that. And I'm like, I can't ask for that. You know, I don't like asking for it. If I could pay for it, if I could do it myself, I'll do it myself.
Right.
You know, I'd rather tax myself all that than, you know, to have to sit here and go, hey, can you pay for this? Hey, can you pay for that? My cousin was, you know, she does more and helps out more. You know, she's told me that she's by my side the whole time. And that's reassuring and, like, nice to know. She approves of you guys.
Yeah.
She's like, Kiwan's a great person. She's like, I really like Kiwan. He's a great friend. And I showed him like the other text that the guy sent me. And she was like, yeah, those are great friends. She's like, I approve of those friends. Her fiance was like, it's like, yeah, like I've never gotten a bad vibe from that guy. Like I trust that guy 100%. I'm like, cool. And he's like, I never had like any bad thoughts. And I was like, yeah, your only thought was how tall he was. He's like, yeah. He's like, I didn't want to ask though, because I felt like that was an asshole thing to ask. You know, and it's funny because we talked about that the other time.
Yeah.
Like, people come up and like, how tall are you? Mm. You know.
Well, I wouldn't have mind, of course.
I know, yeah. But it was just funny to like at the time. So I get my phone, you know. When you get out, it's not over.
Of course not, yeah.
Everything, the best way I could explain it was it hits me in waves. Like 1 minute, you know, it's just like, I'm just hanging out with my cousin, you know, next minute, boom, you fucked up. You did this. Oh, sorry, bud. Sorry, my dog came over.
When he clapped.
Yeah. This, and this happens, you know, it's like, you're going through this. You have to deal with this, you know, mm-hmm. You might face jail time, you know? And I'm like, oh, it's like on, and it's like, and don't forget all that money, you know, that's going to come down the pipe that you're going to have to pay. It's like, yeah, it's like the car damages, you know, like that's going to come down the line. You know, it's just, that's going to be a tough one. Hey, oh, chill. So, like, and, you know, my cousin's like, just take one step at a time, one thing at a time, like,
right.
You know, break it down. You know, of course, it's easy to try to think that way and it's easy to try to do that, you know, but it's hard. Ahmed tried calling me. I couldn't even talk with him because it was that bad for me. You know, he gave me words of encouragement. I want to touch on that too, because he got salty about one of the posts we made, but
no, the, you know, yeah, the podcast.
Yeah, but I mean,
we'll talk about that later. Like,
okay,
that's another time.
No, but I just like, I want to set it clear, like, Ahmed, Taj, Akilo, and Kiwan. You know, I might talk shit about them sometimes. You know, but it's like, I'm only doing that because they're so close to me.
Yeah, that's what was my intent too.
Yeah,
what I told him too.
And he can come on and, you know, talk his piece also. It's not a problem.
But he said he didn't want to be on for a while, so
yeah, that's fine. Right. I'm sure soon.
Yeah,
but I like these guys. I trust more, you know, than some of my other friends. That's why these guys know about my life more than most people. I try to keep a lot of my stuff kind of private into myself because I don't feel like, because every time I always say like, oh, I'm going through this, I'm going through that, it's always feel like I'm asking for pity, and I'm not asking for pity.
Right.
I
talked about that like
in the
last episode.
Like, it's just, I'm going through certain things. I will handle it. I know when to reach out, you know, and to ask for that help when I need it.
Right.
So it's just, I finally talked to an attorney. Like, I know there's some classes that are coming up that I'm going to have to take. They're like 2-hour classes. I have to do once a week for 12 weeks. And there's one that's like a 4-hour class. But it's like stuff to show like the judge that I'm serious about this.
Can you go to those classes any time you want?
There's like all at night because everything has to be after 6.
Yeah, that's all I was saying, because you're starting a new job.
So I was actually supposed to be at my other job all this week, and I told him like I'd be there, and then all this happened. So I called him and I apologized. If for whatever reason, our common friend that works there, I'm sure he'll know about it later, and like, well, he was being serious about this, like, you know, when I finally tell everyone else.
Yeah.
But it sucks, because at this point right now, I'm helpless, in the sense that I don't have a job. Like, I'm in this weird, like, job limbo. Like, I start my job Monday. You know, I still need to apply and, like, fill out an application, and then I'm good to go. They said I'm good to go and all that. I just told them I was in an accident. But at the same time, it's like, you know what you need to do, but you don't have the money to do that. You know the people that are going to be there to help you, but you can't talk with them.
Yeah.
Like, talking about it on this podcast, and I called up Kiwan and told him that, you know, this is something I really want to get off my chest, and I feel like this is one of the best ways to do it.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause talking about it by myself, it's hard. Like, talking about it with anyone else, like, people go, oh, people were hitting me up through the gaming community, and like, just our normal friends, they're like, you haven't posted in 3 days, are you okay?
I was the same way. Like, I'll get to my side of the story, but like, I was the same way. I was like, wait, he's not on Facebook Or like Instagrammers.
Yeah, like I'm pretty avid about like, you know, posting stuff. There might be times when it's like I don't post anything for 12 hours, you know, but I'll post up like a picture on Snapchat. People were hitting me up, you know, and like asking me, and they're like, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm fine. I'm just kind of handling, you know, something right now. I'm going through stuff right now." I'm very vague with a few people. Some people know that I was just in an accident. This girl that I really like, I told her, I was like, "I'm just in an accident, you know. Eventually I have to tell her, you know, but it's hard. I couldn't even get up my strength just to say that, you know." So like a day or two later, we find out where my car is. I thought Denver police had it. They didn't. They just called someone else.
Oh, wow.
So it was in Aurora. Yeah, it was like way over there in Aurora. Like that part of Aurora where like if you feel like you keep going, you almost hit Montebello area.
Oh, shit.
So it was like all the way over there. So we find my car. My cousin sees it and she's like, "I don't know who's looking out for you, but you have someone looking out for you." So I go through. I find in the car, okay, find all my stuff. I find a cross that was blessed that a parent gave to me. And I said, "I'll always keep in my car because that's where I feel like I'm going to need it most. That's in my car." Your sister's thing.
Was in there?
Yeah, behind my seat. And then there was another coin right there.
Wow, that's crazy.
That was that in the cup holder.
Wow, that's crazy.
So the cross was in... So I had that little compartment in front of like the shift, right? The cross was in there. Your sister's thing was behind me. And that coin was to the right of me.
Wow.
So, and like, I was looking at it and I was like, I really feel like Kimon's sister was looking out for me, you know, and this, like.
That's crazy.
So.
You give me emotional.
Yeah.
And I just posted something about, like, I feel like I have guardian angels. Like, I posted that pic of, like, me looking up and, like, the light.
Oh, yeah.
So, that's crazy.
Yeah, so got all my stuff out of that. Sorry, I didn't want to like when I say like, you know, my cousin talks about like, she's like, "You just cashed in all your good karma, you know, on this one thing." And I was like, I really feel like I did. Like, I felt like everything that I built up over the years and like everyone that like I've talked to and like everyone I was nice to, you know, and like tried to be a genuine person to, like, it all came back and I was like, "No, it's not your time yet." You know, like, for me to, like, you see me now, like, it doesn't look like I was in an accident.
Right.
Like, I'm walking around and everything, but I can show you, like, the documents. My cousin can show you the pictures of the car. It's,
wow.
The fact that I was able to walk away, you know, literally stand up and walk, you know. I think I, like, strained my back for, like, a couple days, but that's neither here or there. You know, I could have did that at work, but to have that, you know, and to just walk away and, you know, talk about it, that's crazy in itself. The fact that, you know, I didn't kill anyone, you know, is more than a blessing in itself, you know. So like, to that person, like, I'm sorry doesn't cut it, you know. Yeah. sorry will never cut it. Maybe like paying back the stuff like immediately would cut it, but it doesn't. Yeah. You know, it's a really shaky thing. Like, do I wish I could take it all back? Yeah, in a heartbeat. Do I wish I would have made another choice? You know, and we talked that in episode 4, like, what ifs, you know. It's like, I can't change it. Like, it is what it is.
Yeah.
What's done is done. Like, it's been 2 weeks. No, it's been a week. It's been
one week.
It's been 1 week since it happened. And, you know, I can't change anything.
Right.
You know, I told my cousin, I was like, this is to the point where it's like, I don't even want to drive. Like, it hit me that hard. Like, I go, I don't want to drink. Like, I don't want to do any of that. Like, I can't afford to lose you guys. Like, if that means like cutting out drinking, like, then that's what I have to do. You know, maybe in 6 months from now, like, I might change my mind a little bit, you know, but my standards are going to be,
you'll understand. Like, if I'm drinking, I'm not doing anything else. Like you'll have a plan.
Like, if I did have a car at that time, you know, and like whatever happens, I'm going, it's like, someone else can drive. I'm not driving. I'll pay for gas. You know, I'll do any of that, but I'm not getting behind the wheel whatsoever. My keys are staying in the house. Like, nope, I'm not doing it. Like, it's like counting your blessings, but it's like, I don't know how much more luck you have. Like, and you know, like, the shit that I've gone through.
Yeah.
My bicycle accident.
Yeah.
You know? Being in, almost going to the movie theater that got shot up. You know? Just, like, this is my second car that I totaled. My first car that I smashed into another car. It was, like, early in the morning. That's when I had my silver car. And I broke that. Yeah. Like, the amount of stuff that's, like, happened to me. It's, like, you should not be alive.
Right.
I shouldn't be alive.
Yeah, I've talked about that, like, just being grateful. Like, I'm telling you, every
day. Well, like, that's, like, one of my things. It's, like, I'm always grateful about every little thing. Like, this whole thing, this whole situation, you know, I'm grateful that I'm alive, grateful that I have great friends, you know, to be there for me.
Right.
You know, through my difficult time.
Yeah.
You know, it might not... It's tough because I don't see it as, like, a difficult time in that sense,
mm-hmm.
you know, but it's, like, one of those that, like, still hits me from time to time. So, yeah, after we got all my stuff out of the car, you know, talked with a few attorneys, figured out what my next plan of action is. That court date is the big one where I'm going to figure out, you know, kind of what to do from there. But I feel like if I get, like, a head start on some of the stuff now, you know, to show them how serious I am, like, that'll kind of go in my favor.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, my main thing is right now is like, what can I do now to make my life even a little bit easier
in
the future? Because this is going to be a huge uphill. 2019, you know, started off really good, but it's like, it's just another challenge, you know, it's a really tough challenge, you know, but it's something that I'm willing to make the sacrifices to make sure that, you know, that I make it through 2019. Like, it's almost, like, in that sense.
Yeah.
So.
That's crazy. I can tell my side of the story. So we were hanging out. Like, we went to brunch that day, and, like, after that, we met up with, what was it, my ex, basically. We met up with my ex, like, she's cool. We were hanging out with her, and then he said that he's going to go meet up with a friend that was her birthday, you know. And
no, it was just for the game.
What game?
Because the championship games were that day.
Oh, yeah. But I thought you said you wanted to meet up with you know.
My friend, yeah, but it wasn't her birthday.
It was her birthday weekend, right? But she was at...
Oh, yeah, it was her birthday weekend. Yeah. Sorry, like, I lost, like, all sense of time during that time. So,
You literally told me that.
I forgot.
You wanted to keep celebrating with her because you didn't, you know.
No.
But
I just wanted to, like, hang out.
Yeah. So you went to another bar.
So I went downtown.
Yeah, you went downtown. So we went our separate ways, and I was like, cool, you know. And... I always have in the back of my mind, I'm like, I hope nothing happens, you know, not like wishing it on you, like not putting it like the air out there. Like,
just like,
I'm always like protective of people who are close to me in general, you know? Right. So in the back of my head, I'm like, I hope he gets there. I hope nothing happens. So the next morning, you know, I like called you. And I also, like, text you. And you're very good at, like, hitting someone back up, like, immediately or within...
At least a text.
Yeah, or 10 minutes. So, that was the first, like, red flag when I went, okay, you haven't texted me back yet. Then, like, not being a stalker, like, I went on Facebook and usually you post, you know, a lot of stuff about anything in the world that that you found, you know, interesting in that, you know, in that post. So when you didn't post that, then when it says you haven't posted anything since we met up, since we were together, I was like, that's another red flag. And so I, back in my head, I'm like, I hope nothing happened to this kid. So I'm scrambling. I'm like, where is this dude? You know, I'm like thinking of all possibilities, And then finally, your cousin hit me up on Facebook Messenger. It was like, hey, like, call me. I need to talk to you. As soon as I saw that, I'm like, okay, something happened to Jorge. So I'm calling, like, the phone's ringing. My heart's like, okay, I better not hear what I think I'm going to hear. So she calls. She's like, hey. You could tell she was very distraught. You know, she wasn't very there. She was like, yeah, so Jorge, his car got totaled, and he got a DUI, and he's in the hospital right now. So I'm thinking, what? Like, are you kidding me? I literally said this, and I was like, what are you? That's crazy. Like, what? How did that happen? You know, I'm thinking all of the possibilities. And then I even went to the hospital. So yeah. She told me that you were in holding and, like, you probably couldn't see him, but I just went up there anyway, just in case. So I went up there. They said they had no record of your name. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, well, his cousin told me he's here. And so I called her. I didn't call her. I text her. I'm like, yeah, they said they had no record in your cousin's. Yeah, he's there. He's definitely there. So I'm thinking, like, what's going on? Like, why are they saying
so when there's no record? When you get sent down to holding, or like that holding area, they're like, there's no record of you at this hospital. It's like, just to let you know, like, anyone that comes or calls, like, there's no way. But that morning when they, like, moved me to the jail, they go, oh, by the way, a couple things before you head out. We're going to call your mom and let her know that you're moving to this spot. And I was like, oh, okay. And they're like, and one of your friends came to check up on you, so they know you're here. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And, like, and I asked them, I was like, I thought you guys are, like, you know what? You're one of the few cases, you know, because you've been so genuine with all of us, you know, you've been nothing but, like, nice. Like, mm-hmm. We decided to do, like, a little help, just, like, remember this moving forward. And I was, so they actually called my mom and say, hey, we're actually moving your son to this spot now. Cause my cousin told them, like, yep, call his mom first.
Yeah.
And they let me know that, like, someone came. I later found out it was you, but I was like, oh, okay. Like, that's awesome. You know? So yeah. When I say talking, you know, goes a long way, please and thank you goes tremendously far. Cause that's, if I didn't hear something like that, you know, it's like more stuff goes in my head.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no worries. So that happened. So the next day I went to work, like, I was thinking about this shit the whole time. I'm like, where's this dude at? You know, they're saying he's not at the hospital, but, you know, his cousin said he is at the hospital. So I shoot your cousin a text. She was probably working, like, but I said, any updates on Jorge? And I didn't get a text until, like, later that evening. And then I went there in the morning too, and, like, they said the same shit. So I was just like, okay, cool. So I'm just, like, out of sorts a little bit. Cause, it's crazy to me that all this shit happened. And in the back of my head too, I'm like, I should have just went with him, you know, and said, you know.
Well, because you called me too, and you're like, hey, should I roll through? And I was like, no, like, it's not that great over here.
Yeah, you know? And I was like, just let me know. But in the back of my head, I'm like, I should have been there, in the sense. So
right.
I was feeling a little guilty about that too.
My other friend, I finally talked with her, and she's like, I should have pushed harder, you know, to, like, tell you
yeah,
to
she come with me. I actually saw her at a beer hall, and she was like, what happened to Jorge? And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to let him tell you, because I'm not going to be here, especially in a bar.
Right.
Like, I wasn't going to be like, yeah, this happened. I was like, you just got to contact him and, like, tell him. And she said that, did you want, like, she offered you to stay at her grandma's or something like that?
Yeah, she's like, oh, come to kind of my parents' house, you know, which is, like, on the way to my house.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, we'll get you food over there. Because, yeah, that whole point, I don't remember.
Got you. But yeah, so that happened. So I call all the boys, you know. I mean, I text them. I text Taj, Ahmed, and Akilo. They're all, like, out of their mind too. They're like, "What? Are you kidding me? Like, what?"
Right, because this is like I've talked about, like, this is far from like something that anyone would expect from me.
Yeah, exactly. So I text all of them. They're all like, just update us and everything like that. And even though we'll get back to, like, my man wasn't mad about the last post about Friends, I've always respected my man because he takes the initiative on everything. So when I text him, he was constantly, you know, hitting me up and saying, "Hey, so he's at this jail. He has these charges. He might get out."
The fact that he found like all that.
Yeah, like, that's what I was saying. I was like, "Damn." So,
I was like, "I don't think my cousin."
He's like, "He might get out about midnight." You know, that's, he's like, "Oh, he might get out about midnight." And I was like, "Damn, that's crazy." Because for me, I've never had someone close to me like be in jail where I had to go look for him and say, "Oh, he's at this jail. He's at this." But Ahmed's had experience through it, not with himself, but like through family members. So he knew what to do and like how to look up, you know, where to, you know, where people are at and shit. So
Ahmed, like FBI.
Yeah. You know, so
that man will find anything about anyone.
Yeah. Like, so I have more, you know, I was more clear on what was going on instead of me right. Like thinking what's, you know, all this shit through my head. So that happened, and you finally called me. Well, you texted me first. You said that, "Hey, like, I'm out. I'll call you later."
Yeah, because I was on my
Watch. You're on your Apple Watch. I figured
out. I left that here, thank God.
Yeah.
That thing got broken. I wouldn't be able to contact anyone for a while.
Yeah, so then we FaceTime each other later that night, and we just chopped it up, and I could tell, you know, you're still going through the effects of everything. And so I was just trying to be encouragement and like be that person that was there for you, just to let you know I was there for you. That happened, and now like we're here pretty much, and I just want, you know, I know this is a bad moment right now, but I feel like, especially after you just told me that the way your car was and it's like totaled and that my sister's obituary was in the back and you had a, you know, you had a cross, you know, in your dashboard. That's crazy to me because it could have been worse. And I was thinking that too, if somehow, some way you either got injured or let it know got killed, that would have been a really, really, really tough thing for me to deal with because
right,
I'm starting to heal with all the passing, you know, of my grandma and sister. So if that would have happened, that would have been crazy. Like I said before, like when we talked on the, well, we FaceTime, I'm like, you're basically, you know, my road dog, you know, we go hand in hand. We have very common, you know, goals and a lot of ambition to do a lot of things together. So I was like, that's gonna be a void in my life if that happened. So I was just thinking, thank God that it wasn't worse. You know, of course this is a bad situation, but
right. It
could have been way worse. And I'm like grateful that you're still here and that. And I just want to say, too, that I've said this to you, like, this is part of your journey, you know? And I want you to look back on this a year from now, you know, 3 years, 5 years, and say, "Hey, did you see where I just came from? Like, you do see what happened to me? And now I've rose up, and now I'm at this place where I'm satisfied." Not satisfied, but you're like, you fought through that shit and now you're in a good place.
Yeah,
you know?
No, for sure.
So I just want you to keep that, you know, this, all this shit is bigger than us pretty much, you know. This is tough right now, but you got to think of the end goal, you know. You got to think of the prize in a sense, because if you continue to do what you set out to do this year, And then you keep building off that, like, sky's the limit, bro. Like, I know there's times where you're like, damn, this shit keeps happening to me. Like, I'm, you know, I'm not having good favor and everything. All right, like
to
that.
Be fair, the most random shit does keep happening to me.
I know.
As much as I want to joke about, like, all of this, like, there's times I'm like, what, Jorge, what the fuck keeps happening? Like, it's a running joke among some people. Like, there you go again.
Right.
Here you go, something random happening to you. Like,
and I truly believe in that. I don't know if it's like a spirit or like a dark force or like something. I feel like something's out there.
I just need to buy some sage.
There's something out there when people start realizing their potential or like realizing, hey, like, I'm going to do this. Like, I'm going to change my life. Something happens to them to like give them a setback or like
to make them harder,
make it harder and make them say, you know what? I just give up, you know? And I truly believe that. Cause how ironic is that for you? You've been, you know, you've been well at, you know, managing drinking and, you know, you've been well in managing on how you're going to get somewhere after you go to a place.
Right.
And then once we started talking about all this stuff, you know, podcasts and like doing all these things to make our lives better.
It is a weird irony.
Something of this magnitude happens. Like, you've been, you know, we've been doing this like for a long time, right? Like, we'll go out, you know, and then you'll go home. And like you're fine,
or all like if I know that like if
you're
gonna
crash at my place,
yeah,
like, but for this to happen in this time where all of a sudden we're starting to realize our potential and we're realizing, hey, we do this and do A, B, and C, we're gonna get to our destination. Like this happens, so I truly believe that it's like something's trying to stop you, but. That's why I said you got to keep going and, like, keep grinding.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, like, and that's the one thing, like, I talked to you, I was like, I do want to continue this, you know, I'll figure it out a way, you know, that we can continue doing this, because even though this is a tremendous step back, you know, this, like, you know what this feels like? It's like, oh, here's your road to success, you know, and here's, like, that other road, and it's like, well, you walked halfway up this, like, that's the wrong way, now you got to backtrack and go all the way back up this again. You know, like,
remember I talked about it, like, you know, you make that, like, there's a decision and then you just gotta, you know, live with it and like try to get through it pretty much, you know.
I mean,
which is a tough thing. Like hearing, me just saying it is easier than, you know, said and done.
Right. Well, hearing like, you know, that nurse talk about, you know, what she went through, you know, with hers, you know, and Ahmed like talking about it, you know, and hearing more of like, you know, the stuff that he's experienced, you know, it's like, it puts me at ease a little bit more, you know, talking to attorneys are like, it's not the end of your life. Like a lot of people are really lenient on your first one. You know, it's the second or third one. I'm like, there's not going to be a second or third one. Like there shouldn't have been a first one.
See, that's already progress because you could have been dwelling saying like, I hate my life. Instead, you're like,
I mean, it still sucks.
Well, of course. Well, it's like, it's fresh. It's fresh. It's been a week, but I'm saying you could have been like, wow, I suck, or everything like that. But you already notice, you know, that I need to fix some couple things where, okay, like, that would never happen.
I think after I get my final court date, you know, and then, like, it's just the whole processing after that, that's when it's going to kind of hit me to kind of go, okay, like, here's my deep breath moving forward, like, we're okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, this is what needs to be done. This is what's going to happen. This is how much it's going to cost me, which that sucks in itself.
Yeah.
You know, and then we'll just kind of go from there.
Mm-hmm.
It sucks. I don't wish this on anyone, you know,
or
my, like, people that, like, I feel like have done me wrong, people that I no longer get along with, like, no, I wish, you know, the best possible things of all those people, you know, to experience something like this. It's, I could have felt the other way. You know, I felt in a side where it's like, okay, it's like a tide of recovery.
Right.
But you could have fallen into, like, that deep depression. I could have fell into, like, a really dark hole.
Yeah, that's what I was like. You know? You got to keep your head up.
And, like, when we talk about, like, we go out and, like, you know, we drink, you know, every other weekend, like, I'm not an alcoholic, you know.
Of course not. Like, like, I've never
seen No, that. I mean, like, because this was brought up on my birthday last year, 6 months ago.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like, I had to explain to my family that.
The person who said that was already moving in the bad. Moving
past that.
Yeah.
Bad. But I'm just saying, like, you know, I had to explain to my family that I'm not an alcoholic. Like, this doesn't happen. This happens, like, once in a blue moon.
Right.
You know, like, when I do drink to that point. So for me to, like, you know, go out with friends and then to experience this, it's like, what happened? You know, like I'm sitting here, like, replaying my whole day going, at what point, you know, did I mess up and make, like, a horrible choice?
Right.
You know, and it's just, it reels on me, you know. Like, luckily I have friends, luckily I have people I can talk to. I know just about everyone is there for me.
All right, I'll cut you all, but I just see that's why we have great friends, because they were all concerned, you know?
Yeah.
And to touch back on that friend episode, like, I'm so grateful that we have our group of friends, because we're always there for each other. You know, I've seen cases where there's friends that felt like they were, you know, really close, and
As soon as something happens,
they're not there, or they're not supportive, or something like that. So, I know we have a great group of friends, and I hope we stay friends for forever. So we can, you know, because you need that. You need that, because shit like this happens, and if you feel alone on this shit, it's highly likely you're going to be depressed.
Like I said, like, if it wasn't for my dog, you know, I probably would have felt into, like, a deeper depression at that time, you know, when I wasn't able to contact anyone, because, like, my worst case scenario was nobody's going to be friends with me. Everyone's going to abandon me. The only thing that isn't going to abandon me is my dog.
Yeah.
Like, my dog will, you know, if I'm out there in the cold, my dog's like, well, fuck it. Let me go stand out there with you. You know, like, Kiwan knows, like, when I took him to the off-leash dog park, you know, like, he ran around everyone, but still came back and checked up on me and, like, walked right next to me. Like, you know, my dog is my world, like, right now. You know, there's a lot of times I've had, like, breakdowns, you know, and gone through stressful times, and my dog's always been there, you know. I know you guys have been there too, you know, but it's, like, it's a little bit different, because this is, like, unconditional love. He's, like, rolling over by my feet, by the way. That just knowing that he doesn't know what's going on, you know, he just knows that that person belongs to me and I'm going to be with that person.
Yeah.
Like, constantly.
I totally understand.
But yeah, that's what happened to me. Like, everything that happened. I know I talked about episode 5 being a big one. Was not expecting something like this.
That's why I think things happen for a reason, you know? I want us to look back on this and, like, whatever episode, and I want you to be like, hey, yeah, I'm here right now. Everything's going great. You know, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Yeah. And then I want us to be like, yeah, if you go to episode 5,
like,
we were, you know, he was in a dark place. Like, a lot of shit was happening to him, and he rose above it. And we want, at least for me, I want it to be, I've always inspired to be motivational, and, like, I've always wanted to make sure, like, people out there, like, you're not alone, because there's a lot of artists, you know, athletes and actors where they'll say something that resonated with me, and I'm like, wow, they went through that and they got through it. So I can do that and get through it. So I want us to, well, at least, you know, like I said, me, I want us to be like, hey, man, it's not the end of the world. Keep fighting.
Right.
And then eventually you'll get to where you need to be.
That friend episode, you know, we keep bouncing back to it, but it was a big one, because it was like, we know that we're all there for each other.
Yeah.
You know, when you got into your accident, you know, and I told the guys, like, they all, they all were like, oh, hey, you like, you know the information, you know, check me in. Like, this happened to me. Everybody was hitting you up, you know, or like a med was telling you, okay, well, this is happening, you know. Stuff like that goes a long way. I told my cousin, like, I'm pretty sure I said this earlier, that I go, if you're ever going to trust anyone around me, it's these people. And I was like, I will give you, you know, Kiwan's number. And she's like, I already got it. I'm like, all right, well, fuck me then. I was like, but I know that, you know, Kiwan is one of those people, like, if something were to happen to me, like, you can reach Kiwan and Kiwan will, like, know those other people to kind of reach out to, yeah. You know, or like, if you need to get a hold of me and for whatever reason my phone is broken, like, chances are, you know, if I'm out, I'm with Kiwan, yeah. You know, doing something. It's just nice to know, like, my advice, if you go through this, if you're going through this, my advice would be, like, talk to your friend who you know has your back. Like, and that can mean, like, whatever it means to you. Yeah.
Friends, whether it's, like, family members, if you have close family members that are, like friends. Not,
because it was hard for me to talk with my mom about this.
Not even mom. So, like, there's, I know a lot of people who don't have a lot of friends, but they have a lot of family members. Where they can just talk to them. Like, they're basically best friends.
Right.
You know, like a cousin or, like, my cousin even brother or sister, you know. So, that's what I'm saying.
I'm an only child, and my cousin is the closest thing I have to a sister.
I just want to put that out there, too. Like, you know, because some people don't have
them. No, and I get that. Like, but you have everyone that should be listening to this, you know. Like, everyone in life should have that one person they could talk to. It could be that grocery store, you know, cashier that, like, always talks to you. It can be, like, the coffee person that always talks to you. Like, whoever it is, you know, like, someone that you can confide with. Like, you need to talk about it. And if not, you know, it doesn't hurt to go, like, to therapy, you know, and to talk to someone. Because there's people there that are genuine about wanting to help you. Like, I know, I've always lived by that philosophy where it's like, be the person that you needed when you were younger. You know, there's a lot of my friends that go through a hard time and I'm like, hey, everything okay? You know, a lot of times, like, yeah, everything's fine. Like, I'm not the person they want to talk to, you know, but I'm letting them know, like, I'm here for you
now,
you know, because if out of, like, your thousands of friends on Facebook, if no one does it, at least I did it.
Right.
You know, and at least you know that, you know, out of all your friends, if you can't confide to the person that you want to, like, I'm your last option. I'm still an option, you know. And to know that you guys, you know, are my first option and I could reach out to you guys, like, that puts you at ease, you know. Everyone has someone that they can reach out to. And everyone should have someone that they can reach out to. It's your significant other, you know. Your kid, your mom, your dad, your cousin, your sister, your brother. Like I said, you know. The lady that works at the diner that you always go to.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that works at the coffee shop that you always go to, you know? Like, your coworker that you always crack jokes with, you know? Like, whoever it is, whoever that person is, like, it needs to be talked about. And it's not just for this situation. It's, like, any situations that are, like, hard, you know? You have your core group of friends. You have your, I even want to say, core family members. And then you have everyone outside that circle. You don't need to tell everyone everything. But you should tell one person everything.
And I'm saying, like, you can't go through life trying to do everything on your own. Because I've tried to do that. And it's tough. You know, you need, like, even people who are self-made in, like, businesses and everything. They still need, like, business partners and, like, people who are going to be there for you. So, there's never been a person who's done every single thing by themselves. You need help in some aspect in all your life, you know, in your life. So whether that's a job or a career opportunity or, you know, anything of need, you most likely need someone else to help you get there. You know, of course, you have to put the work in. You have to do everything in your power to make sure that happens. But also, you most likely you're going to need someone. So that's what I wanted to say too.
Yeah. So I'll, you know, I'll keep you guys updated on, you know, what happens, when it happens, as it goes along. We're going to still continue to try to push this out. This one's a day late, or actually episode 4 is a day late. Cause that whole thing happened. And
I mean, as long as we posted it, you know, well, the it's week, like,
Because I'm telling them, like, no, we're going to be consistent Saturday. About a yeah. lot of different things. You know, but the reason why it was late, like, because after they heard all this, like, now they know, you know, why it was a day late. I'm usually the one posting it. I got to find a way to get you on there also. So that way, if worst case scenario...
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. Not, like, in a vague thing. I was
he's
like,
in jail, and I can't even post it. Podcast. What's like, wrong? You ruined everything. Yeah. I'm sorry. My dog's getting all excited. No, we're good. We're good.
But okay. I was saying, like, I want to keep this going. I'm not going to make my own podcast.
Well, like I said, we'll keep this going. I'll keep everyone else updated. We'll always have random shit to talk about. But, you know, this is a big one. You know, if there's a time where it's like, I can't make... an episode and Kiwan has to do an episode by himself. I was like, what happened to Kuma? Sorry, other dogs here. If, you know, if something happens to me or like I need to go to a class or I'm out of town or something like that, like episodes will still go up on Saturday.
Yeah.
You know.
All right.
Anything else you want to add to this?
I mean, no, not really. Like, I'm glad we're talking about it because it shows, you know, our balance and like we're not just all fun and joking, you know, we can talk about serious stuff
too. Yeah, this was
this is not gonna be the last serious shit to happen.
No,
that's why not this by is far. Life, you know, things are gonna happen to us and we're gonna express it, and we just want to say for me that people are not alone when stuff happens, and
right,
I genuinely hope like one person who listens to this be like, wow, they went through a lot of shit, and now they're at the apex of their
right and like
you it, know life.
Let's say you know you guys started on episode 100, and you came back, and you're listening to this episode or 200, 300, whatever yeah. it may be. You know, you come back and you listen to this. Reach out to any one of us. You know, if I don't know the answer to something, I can point you to someone that can. Like, I don't know family loss like Kiwan does. Kiwan doesn't know, you know, the situation of this, like. You know, I do,
yeah,
you know, but we right. know people that can point you in that right direction. Like we're here for you, you know, rather, regardless of what, like how big this community is, you know, or whatever, even if this is, if this does become a community, like it's just reach out to someone.
Yeah.
You know, like if it means like sending us a message, yeah, I'm pretty responsive about all that.
Oh yeah.
Maybe in the future it might be a little harder, but you know, I'll always keep my eye out for it. Yeah. 'Cause I know it's hard for some people,
yeah.
you know, and if you feel like you made a bigger connection with us than you have any one of your friends or family members, then yeah, I'd gladly be that person to help you out,
right.
you know, report you in that direction.
All right.
We still calling this a car cast?
I mean,
I feel like it's fitting still.
I think that's it. Yeah, we can just call it, you know, it's the original.
We'll still call it the car cast.
Yeah.
Eventually, I'll have another car. And we'll move from there. But, yeah. Thanks again. Sorry this one's a little bit longer. This one's pushing, like, an hour 30. But, I mean, it was a lot.
You can always go back to it. You don't have to listen to the whole thing, you know. I do that on podcasts. If it's, like, an hour.
Yeah, there's times. Pops. Please, I listened to a three-hour podcast one time.
Yeah. My mind.
But, I mean, like, yeah, like... This one was a tough one for me. I'm sure but down
I'm
the
glad
line.
You got it out though.
Yeah, I'm sure down the line, you know, we might have our friends, or even you might have like a tough one that you need to hash out on here.
Yeah.
This is just an area where we can talk and kind of get stuff out. So, I hope you take away, you know, some message from it, regardless of what that might be, you know. But just know that it's not the end. There's always another day. Life moves on. Right? Any other corny or cheesy lines that are like motivational to get you through?
Jorge took an L, but tonight he bounced back or something.
All right.
Yeah.
We're ending it on that. All right. We'll catch you guys then.